Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Hero MotoCorp Q4 and FY 2019 earnings conference call hosted by HDFC Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Makharia from HDFC Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Stanford. We have with us today the senior management of Hero MotoCorp on the call. I will now request Umang Khurana, Head Investor Relations, to take the proceedings from here on. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Aditya. Welcome everyone to the Q4 and financial year 2019 post-results conference call. We have with us today the management represented by Mr. Niranjan Gupta, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Surendra Chhabra, Vice President, Corporate Finance, and Mr. Sanjay Bhan, Head of Sales and After Sales. We will begin the call with opening comments from the CFO and then take your questions. We have budgeted an hour for the call. Over to you, Mr. Gupta.
Thanks, Umang. Thanks for joining the call. It's a bit late, but let's hope we make the most of it. As you would have seen the results, it's been a tough quarter overall for auto industry as such, which has been due to various factors which we've been talking about, like insurance costs, liquidity, and other factors. Our results are no different. We've delivered a volume of 17.8 lakhs, a revenue of 7,885 crores, an EBITDA margin of 13.6%, which given the circumstances, shows the resilience of the portfolio, and our PAT of 730 crores. There are quite a few positives for us in these results. One, on the entry segment, there's significant market share recovery that has happened in quarter four. Our market share in quarter four are now 65% plus, which means that we've recovered most of the lost market share of the three quarters and staying true to our strategy and at prices and value, which are higher than industry. Second, 125cc scooters, where we launched Destini, and last time we talked about that shares are moving up. We have moved beyond 10%. We can say move beyond 15% and probably a little more, as Sanjay will talk about it later. Further, we are fortifying this 125cc by launching Maestro Edge, which will come in the next month itself. Coming to premium, you're aware we did launch Xtreme 200R, and now we are launching XPulse, which again you will see next month. Therefore, we will have this premium portfolio, which we'll be building up. These are the positives, quite significant for us, which augur well moving forward. As far as parts business is concerned, again, for the full year, we have grown 13%, while for the quarter, the numbers are 791 crores for Q4 FY 2019. Corresponding for Q4 FY 2018 was 746, and Q3 FY 2019 was 730 crores. FY 2019 full year, 2,836 crores versus FY 2018 of 2,508 crores, which is a 13% growth. Overall, while the quarter the industry has had a tough going, but there are, as I said, quite a few positives. Moving forward, we do expect FY 2020 to be a tale of two halves, which is probably some of the challenges may continue into quarter one as we correct the inventory, but thereafter we do expect pickup and moving on to festive and then thereafter to sort of pre-buying on because of BS6. Also, some of the negative factors that we have talked about, liquidity and other things are easing out. RBI did the swap and infused liquidity, plus they have done the open market operations, and they have done a rate cut, and there's an expectation in the market of another rate cut. That and probably with good monsoon moving forward and then the festive and pre-buying, things should start looking up from quarter two onwards. Overall, for the year, we do expect industry to be in around mid-single digits, tail of two halves, probably first half flattish, second half closer to 10% growth, 5 to 7% one would see. And on the back of our launches and our things that we talked about, we would expect ourselves to do better than industry. Over for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchstone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star, then one. The first question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Could you talk about what is the volume outlook for next financial year? Where are the inventory levels? And you also talk about BS6 challenges where company plans to launch the BS6 models well before the timeline. So some color on, how do you plan to navigate that tough period?
Yeah, over to Sanjay.
Like Niranjan explained that the next fiscal is going to be a tale of two halves. So we do expect that the first half will be, from a growth point of view, will be a little sluggish. But we do expect some recoveries in the second half of the year. So right now, I think the question, there was another part of your question which is about inventories. I think we all understand that the overall situation on inventories is pretty much consistent across most manufacturers. Everyone has clearly, made an effort to correct their stocks. And I think it's also been spoken by several other players. I think we are pretty much in line with what exactly is happening in the industry. We've also made some significant corrections in the month of March. Expect some more in quarter one as well. So from that point of view, I think we are getting things pretty much under control. I think most of this inventory pileup happened because of a relatively poor, I would say, festive season. I guess this is not something that happened only in quarter four. It started well into the festive season. The build-up for the festive is something that we are correcting now because that didn't really get consumed then at that point in time. And I think that's primarily the overall narrative for most manufacturers, and that's exactly what has been going on for the past few months. That's why the growth numbers have been muted because corrections in inventories.
Yeah, that is the reason I was asking. If you can quantify, in terms of full year, what kind of growth you are looking at and where is the inventory level after the corrections right now?
So I think the answer to your question on inventory levels, we are, like I said, pretty much in line with industry number. I think we are between 45 to 50 days of inventory of our forward retails, which is the way we look at retails, look at inventory. It's got no bearing on what has been the past track. It's more relevant from what is going to happen in the subsequent period. So, like I said, 45 to 50 days is what we are operating on. And obviously, the intention is to try and make further attempts to correct it, if possible, bring it down to just about 45 or under.
And volume growth, what are we budgeting for full year?
Right now, like I said, this is going to be a tale of two halves. I think the first half will be muted, but overall for the year, we do expect a mid-single-digit number. That's what we have already, this is a number that we discussed in this IM meeting as well. The industry overall would see about a mid-single-digit kind of a number. And we'll grow in line with the industry. Our expectation is to stay well ahead, a bit ahead of the industry growth.
Okay, because if we launch the BS6 models as well, where I'm expecting a significant price increase, then that would also be a bit of an issue, right? So how do you think about that? Why is the company looking to launch the BS6 models well ahead of the timeline as per the press release? Just trying to understand that.
No, because you have to transition to BS6. You cannot launch BS6 on 31st March and then hope that all the models will fire. So there is a certain ramp-up time that's required. There's a certain testing time in the market that's required. And also we need to remember that from 1st April, even the dealers, when they sell, they can only sell BS6. So therefore, in the market, you need to build a BS6. And that's what we mean by saying ahead of time. So we are not something which is, we're not a situation where we are rushing to that finishing line. And that's important that we are planning well and we are planning our models. But we don't see any big impact of that in this year. If at all, any pricing impact or any volume impact of that would happen in FY21 and not FY20.
Just to add to what Niranjan said, and this is largely for everyone here, not just for Kapil. I think our strategy primarily is driven by consumers, and we would want to ensure that the consumers enjoy the maximum benefit of whatever, and therefore not exposing them to any increases to the extent that we can. And like Niranjan mentioned, the transition has to be driven by two critical variables. One is our overall plans for the year, and secondly is the fact that, you know, the timing of each of these models has been done in a sequential manner so that it doesn't really, you know, hurt our volumes on one side and also impact consumers from a price point of view. So
yeah,
the larger point therefore is most of the impact of the so-called increase or expected increase in pricing from BS6 would actually be seen only in quarter one of next fiscal.
Also, it's more about being readiness in time, well ahead in time, rather than being market in time. So that's something that we will trade off closer to the time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to one per participant. For any further questions, you may come back for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Goel from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, I just wanted to get a sense on this gross margin. If I look at from a Q&Q basis, it has not deteriorated Q&Q. You had launched this insurance scheme as well in this quarter. And could you also talk about if you received any commodity cost benefits during the...
Yeah, no, we keep managing our margins through various means. There are multiple levers of this. So insurance scheme is only one part of that. There are all the element of expenditures. There are cost savings. There are commodities. There are leap savings. So all put together is what the combination is. And we did run few schemes in order to ensure that we can push out retail. And as Sanjay explained, to reduce the inventory, which we successfully did. Because, for instance, for the month of March, while our dispatches were 5.5 lakhs, our retail were 7 lakh plus. So we were successfully able to reduce the inventory in the month of March by 1.5 lakhs. So that is where it stands. And our EBITDA margin, as you know, is 13.6%. As I mentioned, displays, again, the gross margin, EBITDA margin, they display that with our size and scale, the ability to manage different levers, even in times like this.
So, sir, this insurance scheme is still continuing in April or it has been discontinued? And also, in future quarters, will you get commodity cost benefits now or it's almost over now? So, just want to get...
So, the scheme... So, all these schemes are for short period. So, they are never for long period. So, that scheme is not continuing anymore. But there are different schemes which operate at different point in time. And as far as commodity is concerned, currently, it looks like, crude seems a bit volatile. It spiked up, but then it could come down again because fundamentally the global growth is expected to be slower, overall macroeconomic growth. We will see as we move forward, but there could be headwinds and tailwinds which cancel out each other. So difficult to say which way commodities will move moving forward. But as of now, we don't see the whole basket of commodity spiking up anytime soon.
Okay, and just one more question. Just can you just tell us the cost increase on the FI system which will happen because of BS6? Because that number is not given by you guys as of yet, and we are moving towards BS6. So some indication on the cost increase on BS6.
Right, so I'm afraid you will have to wait.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jamshed Dadaboy from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question, sir. Sir, could you give us a sense of what your net price increase was for the quarter and how you all are thinking about pricing for FY20?
As far as pricing is concerned, we keep taking our price from time to time. Quarter four sequentially, we did not take up big time. I think it was around 100 to 150 odd that we took in quarter four. As far as moving forward, how do we see pricing? As you know, our stand has been to take gradual increases which partially offset commodity costs or cost increase that happened. We try to offset them through our LEAP saving and other savings programs and then try to pass on as less as we can to the customer, ensuring that the value proposition is kept intact. So that's what our pricing strategy has been, and that's how we look at pricing. And as I mentioned earlier also, we've stayed true to our pricing strategy, which has actually resulted, and now you can see the entry market share coming back. So we'll stay consistent to our strategy as long as it keeps winning.
Okay. So on this inventory destocking which happened in the month of March, could you give a sense which segments it was in? Was it mostly on the entry side or mostly on the executive side?
So it was on the overall basket.
All right. Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Ronak Sarda from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, question on scooters. I mean, we have been highlighting that 125cc has grown faster than the 100cc segment. Can you highlight for FY19, what was the growth for 100-110cc and was the growth for 125cc? And in continuation to that, has the Destini 125 been launched pan-India now, and what's the launch plan for Mastro Edge as well?
Sorry, what was the second part of your question?
The launch.
Destiny. Yeah, yeah. Destiny, like I think Niranjan mentioned already, Destiny is an unqualified success. We started off with Delhi as because we didn't have the ramp-up at that stage. But immediately thereafter, we opened up the entire country. We started in Delhi, I think, mid-October, 20th of October, if I'm not wrong, immediately after the Dussehra. 21st of October, and then we opened up nationally on the 15th of November. So after that, we've gone national and we've started peaking on numbers there. We've hit a 19.2% market share in quarter four. So, you know, it's pan-India now. I think it's overall looking quite fine. So, you know, it's building volumes and it's really helped us at least protect some market share. So on scooter, the growth between 100 and, you know, 110 has not been there. In fact, quarter four, you would know the growth in 100-110cc has been pretty bad. It's been 23% decline. Right. Overall, for the fiscal, it's been about 8.5% down. But the 125cc, like we had mentioned, if you recall, even in the earlier earnings call, we mentioned that within scooters, there's a churn that is happening. So it's not just I think to a question that was asked, is motorcycles coming back, scooters not coming back, sort of a discussion. We said that, well, that's one aspect, one way of looking at it. The other way is of looking at it within scooters, there's a churn happening from 100-110 to 125, and that's exactly how it's played out in terms of the growth that 125cc has seen, 55.7, almost 56%. So that's significant, and the good news really from a Hero standpoint is that we are, perhaps the fastest kind of a ramp up in terms of the number of models that we're sequentially going to be launching in this fastest growing scooter segment is perhaps the best ever that the industry has seen. I mean, nobody has really been able to pump in absolutely three different models in such a short span of time within 6 months of each other. So I guess from that point of view, strategically just plays it pretty fine for us. And as far as the question on Maestro Edge launch plan and date, I think we're getting into it sometime next month. We are yet to conclude the dates, but like Niranjan mentioned, it will happen sometime middle of next month.
Okay. And just a follow-up on margins. I mean, we are at almost at a four-year low now on EBITDA margin front. Can you just provide, I mean, given the cost increase happening for BS6, Can you provide us a roadmap for margins over the next 2 years?
So very difficult to provide a roadmap for the next 2 years. All I can say is that moving forward for the in the short term, one would probably say that the margins should hover around in a narrow range around the current levels because the headwinds and tailwinds are neutralizing each other. As you move into the BS6 world, and I have said this before, a lot will depend on how the pricing settles down, how the cost settles down in the industry, and then we do the volume price trade-off. So it will depend on all those strategies because eventually the goal will be to maximize revenue and the bottom line and not the percentages per se. So when the BS6 world comes in FY22, very difficult to say, and we will see how it pans out across industry.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghunandan from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, firstly, has there been any price increases in April?
Yeah, we did take a price increase in April.
Can you please quantify?
Close to around 300 to 350 rupees.
Okay. And sir, like, what has been the capex for FY19 and expectation for FY20?
So FY19, our outflow on capex has been close to around 800 crores on a cash basis. And next year, we would expect this number to go up to close to around 1,500 crores. Next year, meaning this FY20, because we have the Andhra plant, which will be coming up, and plus some of the BS6 lines in manufacturing. So I think a combination of these two will lift the capex to close to around 1,500 crores for FY20.
Sir, one last query. On working capital, there has been an increase in both receivables and inventory days. Any color or thoughts you can share?
Yeah, so it's a resultant of the inventory, industry inventory thing that we've been talking about. So as the inventories have gone up, and I did allude this probably in the last quarterly call as well, and therefore the receivables have gone up. But as the inventory levels come down, the receivables also will be coming down.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gunjan Prithyani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, on the scooter, just had a follow-up. The new 125cc has done well, but some of your earlier models seem to be seeing a sharp rundown. Is there any specific reason for that, if you can give some sense on that?
Yeah, so, okay, Gunjan, thanks for the question. I think the key here is that I think we must all recognize the fact that we at Hero recognize the fact that scooters is something that we have to build. You know, it's not something that has been our natural area of, work earlier, because we are extremely strong motorcycle leaders and have been a two-wheeler leader for 18 years now. And scooters is something that we obviously painstakingly built over a period of time. So we are relatively new in the space. Therefore, it's going to take a lot of hard work effort from our side to build the portfolio. The good news clearly is that, some of our new launches, more recent launches, are getting extremely good traction. And I'm quite hopeful, and I'm sure that once you see the new set of scooters, the Maestro that is getting launched and something more, you will see some really exciting stuff coming in, which therefore, will support the entire portfolio. With respect to scooters that have seen some amount of let's say a little bit of a slowdown or has had some degrowth in terms of loss of market share, some of the existing models, I think the primary reason has been that, they needed refresh. So obviously we've seen one trend that seems to be there in scooters in particular is that the expectation of consumers is to have faster refreshes. And that's perhaps the reason why some of the scooter brands have also struggled in the 110 category this year. And overall, as a space, and since we were primarily operating in the 100-110 scooter category, the overall market, like I explained, has gone down about 4.5%. And since we were only primarily operating there, so obviously we also took an impact. However, in the 125cc, which is the segment that's fastest growing right now, contributes close to about 25-30% of the market, we are getting aggressive and we are coming in with more offerings. So we do expect that there will be huge amount of headroom for us to gain share there.
And 125cc of the overall industry is how much in terms of percentage?
The exact percentage
25%.
Is 25%. Yep.
Okay. And second question I had was in the second half, clearly we are going to see everybody trying to, get growth ahead of BS6 transition. And there's clearly going to be far more competitive pressure because nobody wants to end the year with inventory, which is pre-BS6. So do you see that the competitive environment would get more aggressive going into second half? Margins could continue to stay under pressure even in second half when the growth comes back?
That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is there will be a value anyway, because when the BS6 comes in and the BS6 versus BS4, the price differential itself would attract the buyers. So I don't see actually a need for any discount on BS4, because the price differential itself would attract the customers there.
So you think the OEMs would kind of advertise that this is going to be the price increase starting from April, onwards? And is that the way most people will approach it?
That's the way auto industry does in any way, where in any case, any significant price increase, you see that even the four-wheeler players, they announce ahead that there's a price increase coming and this is your last chance to buy, etc. Those are the various things. You actually allow customers to buy that look and give them information in advance that this is what is coming your way and it's your choice, the choice the customer has to make.
And, just to add to what Niranjan said, I think he made a very important point, and I just want to qualify that, and I think for larger measure, because, this is something that's going to keep coming back maybe from your side. So just to put all that to rest, unlike the BS3 to BS4, there wasn't any particular incentive to the customer to buy within that time frame.
Hmm.
Here, the case is absolutely different. There's a huge incentive for the customer to buy the BS4 option well before the BS6 is in. So it's a natural built-in sort of scheme without the OEMs having to spend anything. It will be for the customers to kind of figure that out. I think it will naturally progress that way, and that's the assumption everybody's working on. There will be pre-buying, and our customers are aware enough and, are informed enough. So they will obviously use that lever. And that's huge amount of incentive for them to pre-buy. So therefore, we do expect some action happening in quarter four, but that action will be naturalized on account of the incentive that they have of buying before 31st of March.
Okay. And lastly, just the financing penetration, if you could share how has been the trend? Has it moved up meaningfully in the last two quarters?
Yeah, just a second.
We'll yeah, 37% to 40% is the kind of movement.
Yeah, if you really look at on a full year basis, yeah, that's more relevant. The total financing has moved from around 37% to 40%. Yeah.
But to a larger point, the financing overall has been a bit weak, relatively speaking, in the rural markets because of a lot of distress. I think in the last quarter, rural markets have really tanked big time. As you already know. And I think the penetration of finance, which was aggressively happening before that, has had some setback. There was a period also because of the NBFC challenges during quarter three. There was a bit of a liquidity issue and financing was a little tight and tightly strung. Post that, there has been some recovery in urban centers, but rural hasn't taken off. We would have expected that we would clear 42% overall. But that's not happened. But what we see is that some recovery now in the first few days or the first 3 weeks of April, we've seen some improvement there, although marginal at this stage. But at some point in time, we do expect financing to play a role closer to about 42 to 45%.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amyn Pirani from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Ahead with the financing question, can you just quantify what was Hero FinCorp's share in the overall financing for you this year?
I think FinCorp is improving in market share from time to time. And now, at this point of time, they have 43% in the quarter of the total financing.
Okay. Can you give the number for the full year as well, sir?
40.
Full year is 40%.
40%. Okay, okay. And you also mentioned about, you know, the financing becoming soft in rural areas, and I think this is, you know, somewhat in line with the commentary that we're getting from some other financiers, which are saying that in two-wheelers, the kind of aggression that was seen last year, now, you know, maybe some delinquencies are rising at the margin. So how do you look at financing for the next 12 to 18 months, specifically because I think it will become even more important with the price hikes in BS6. So just want to get your views on that.
So the answer to your question is very simple. You answered your question. The fact is that there is a certain amount of challenge in terms of overall liquidity in the market. So when you have a liquidity issue, it would have a huge bearing in terms of the reason for people to opt for finance, because their overall cash situation is not very good. But the trouble in the period so far that we discussed last 6 months has been the liquidity issue with the NBFCs, who were very aggressive in the market. So the true reason for financing not being as aggressive this time around is not much to do with the overall NPA situation or the collection problem. It's more to do with the overall availability of financing, the footprint.
Okay.
The good part of the benefit that Hero has is with virtually an in-house financing arm, we are able to leverage some of that, and some of those pockets which typically were kind of financially not sort of blacked out by some other people, we've been able to make some inroads, which is what we're trying to do in terms of horizontal deployment of finance. We're also trying to go deeper, and that's the reason that I shared with you the confidence that we have that at some point in time we hit numbers of 45% overall financing. We do expect that the liquidity situation, Niranjan mentioned about the RBI intervention earlier on. So with those kind of interventions in place, once we are out of the entire election cycle, we do expect some recoveries and therefore overall better liquidity situation from availability of finance, opportunity to finance from private financiers and BFCs. That should improve the overall financial culture and therefore help us drive demand even better. That's why we said the first half will be a little slower, because even the overall liquidity and availability from finance is likely to be slow. But once we get into the second half, things should start looking much better.
I think just to add a couple of more points on this financing. First of all, I think two-wheeler as a sector has a huge opportunity, given the financing penetration is relatively pretty low. And there are clear reports pointing out that over the next 3, 5, 7 years, there is no reason why financing cannot move up to 70-80%. So I think there's a huge opportunity lying out there. Second thing is the primary problem, like Sanjay said, has been liquidity. And clearly a lot of actions happening from RBI on infusing liquidity. You can see in inflation numbers which have been coming down. And therefore, we do see things improving on that front as well. Third, there are other financiers also which are entering. In fact, there are new financiers, banks also, which are looking at this sector, because, in fact, delinquencies is not such an issue. That is an issue more for the long-term financing, construction industry or LAP or housing. In fact, this one is the one where actually the short-term and asset liability mismatch is very easy for NBFCs. And we have other financiers as well. While we have our associate company, Hero FinCorp, like Sanjay mentioned, we have Shriram, we have HDFC, IndusInd, there's PNB coming in. So I think this field will see more action moving forward. And as liquidity comes in, one would see this more as an opportunity for growth rather than a derailer.
Okay, that was helpful. So, and just lastly, going back to the BS6 question, as you said, you'll get a lot of questions on that. Given that the industry has entered this year at a high inventory level, even if we do have a pre-buy, is there a risk that that will mostly be seen on the retail side and wholesales may actually disappoint, you know, for the full year, not just for you, as an industry?
So, look, very difficult to say how it will pan out. Currently, this is in our best judgment that one is looking at a broad forecast, and which is why one is looking at a flattish first half, because there will be inventory correction. And then thereafter, as it normalizes, one would look at normal growth. And the other thing is, you know, on BS6, since you have talked about it, while the cost will go up and there's a lot of things around that, but clearly, again, GST is another area where we've represented and some of the other players have represented, and clearly the classification of two-wheelers at 28% is not justified. You can't have two-wheelers in thin category and luxury category by any definition. And I do understand some of the people have talked about that compared to the previous regime, the revenue or the tax rate is same. I think that's a very, very unusual argument, because the whole point of GST was to actually classify it where it should belong based on sin, luxury, necessary, etc., etc. And so 18% is the right bracket, and with BS6, low emission, 90% emission cut coming, I think government needs to relook at it, and we all will be working towards it. So I think that's again another lever that could play a lot into this game. Yeah, positively.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my question. You mentioned that in March you did destock quite significantly, but on an overall basis for Q4, did we have a net destocking, or did we still, were wholesales more than in line with retail? How would you look at that?
Overall, there has been destocking, and as Sanjay mentioned, our inventory levels are now at 45 to 50 days. We do hear estimates of some of the reports which talk about 90 and 100 days, and that's way, way off. We are in line with the industry at 45 to 50 days. And as Sanjay mentioned, we'll see whether we can shave off another 5 to 10 days moving forward in Q1.
And, just historically, going back, as we enter the festive season, typically what is the level of inventory that you want to have by that time?
No, so there's no quantification of inventory level in terms of number of weeks, etc., etc. It's a planned inventory buildup that happens for festive based on what production capacities you have and what the sales plan you have. So it depends on those. Our general level in a normal times, as we have spoken about, is 4 to 6 weeks. So that would be around probably 40 days is a comfortable level. We talked about 45, 50 days, which we are having. So I think this is where maybe a scope for another 5, 7, 10 days of reduction. Yeah.
Okay.
So just to add to it, and I think to put that curiosity to rest, typically the exit inventory post-festival is something that you need to be tracking. And this is true for almost everybody. I think everybody would like to be between 21 days to 30 days post-festival.
Yep.
Which means whatever you build up during the festival, because typically the 35-day period or 40-day period actually of the festivals is when you sell almost 2x of the typical average per month volume. So, to that extent, it doesn't really matter what you're building up. What matters is what you'll end up with. I think that's where the industry got into trouble, because the festival didn't do as well as it was expected to. Had it done well, then we would not be discussing the issues on inventories. Because, typically everybody would be between 21 days to about 30 days post-festival.
Okay, sir. And just on the rural weakness point, you mentioned that last quarter as well. But given that, I think it's fairly relevant for you. I mean, what percentage of your sales is coming from rural now? And given that we have a very mixed forecast on the monsoon side, are you taking that into account when you're making this forecast on the growth for this year?
So if I was to just share with you our rural sale in the first, just to give you a certain number, the growth in rural in the first half was close to 17%. It's just that in the quarter three and quarter four, quarter three tripped by the fact that there was this whole piece on insurance thing that kind of hit the market bad, and then subsequently the overall rural distress that everybody's been talking about. I think there are enough and more reports available where the Rabi sowing overall seems to be about 40% down versus last year. And that itself is an indication of the continued, kind of distress in rural. I think we do expect this situation to be a bit of a challenge for the first half. But as we get into Kharif and sowing of Kharif and the eventual season sale, the monsoons are expected to be about normal for the year. We do expect a recovery there. The moment that starts happening, that's why I said, that's why we mentioned that the first half is not likely to see much action. It will be a little muted from a growth standpoint. That's primarily because even though the liquidity in the market will improve, it's going to take care of some of the urban demand, which is great. But the rural will take a little longer.
and rural demand will kick in after the post-kharif harvesting happens, which is closer to the season. There's, therefore, the second half kind of a resurgence in rural.
So could you just tell us what is the full year number for rural growth for FY19?
FY19 full year growth for rural?
We don't give out rural or urban growth separately from our side.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jatin Chawla from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. On your March 700,000 retail number, that looks very impressive given that Navratri this time was in April. So just wanted to get a sense on what is the kind of growth trends you are seeing on retail. Is it flattish? Is it slightly declining or some growth? What are the kind of exact trends that you are seeing on the retail side?
See, despite the fact that last year Navratras were in the month of March and this year they were in April, in Navratra, the March retail was virtually about the same level as last year, no decline. However, April, despite the fact there has been Navratra, the overall sentiment hasn't really kicked in. That's why we don't expect to get a growth there. We will try and be as close to the number that we had last April. So broadly, that's where it is. It's not going to be a big growth month from the current trends that we see, despite the fact that Navratras and Gudi Padwa in Maharashtra was in the month of March last year, and this time it was on 5th of April. So despite that, we don't see growth for April. But some of the markets in the northern belt seem to be responding slightly better because of festivities and the marriage seasons around. So, yeah, so we do expect May to be a good, strong month. We expect some amount of recoveries in June as well. But like we said, from a dispatch point of view, we will still be very cautiously trying to push this as hard as we can so that we get more and more stocks kind of corrected, further correction possibly in the quarter one.
Okay. Just one quick thing on the inventory bit. There have been kind of, at least what we are reading is that the company has provided support from Hero FinCorp to the dealers for the higher level of inventory that they are carrying right now. Does some of that flow through to, first, is that correct? And second, if it's correct, then does some of that flow through as a financial impact to Hero MotoCorp as well?
It's not unusual. So there's nothing unusual in this period that you see. In terms of even in festive season when it builds up, then FinCorp do on their own. We do whatever we can to support the dealers in terms of a bit of a lower interest, etc., etc., on the receivables that they hold. So it's not anything which is significant or unusual that we do.
Just one quick question on your capacity strategy, because you have a fair bit of empty capacity and you still keep adding capacity, and you know, next year you talked about spending 1500 crores to further add capacity. So just wanted to understand what the thought process is there.
So we don't have a fair bit of empty capacity. I would love to have our supply chain head admit that there was spare capacity. As we outlined, our plan is to go to around a 10 million capacity, because we do expect that while there may be these few quarters, couple of quarters here and there, you know, with a close to 8 million volume that we delivered, and if you factor in couple of years of 7-8%, 10% growth, you easily reach to crossing to around 9 and a half, and you can't operate at 100% capacity. So I think the capacity addition that we are doing in Andhra is in line with our medium-term plan. Secondly, it also gives us logistics benefit as you have more spread-out plants. So therefore, when we went to west, now you will have one which is kind of south and also serving east. It gives significant benefit as far as logistics is concerned. And of course, whatever you sell locally, there are fiscal benefits available in both these plants. So it's a very well thought out strategy. So,
okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aaron Armstrong from Aviva. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the question and congratulations on the FY results in a very challenging environment. You mentioned some of the entry-level segments, some market share recovery. Could you describe what you would put that down to, please? Is that lower levels of price competition from competitors?
Yeah, thanks, Arun. Yeah, surely. I think there has been some, some action in that particular segment. It's one of the fastest growing because of a lot of price discounting by some of our competition, and they were able to, correct the prices or drop the prices, etc. And I think this is one question that's been asked of us several times around. So what we've done is we've kind of not necessarily gotten into a price correction mode. However, we've launched a variant which is, obviously extremely affordable, and that's kind of helped us get customers in, and we've primarily been able to upgrade them to our regular price point.
Great, thank you.
And also, as we had spoken earlier as well, that the discounts and the gains from discounts are always short-lived, and therefore, after a period of time, customers do come back to the established brands. And that's again something that we are seeing.
Great, thank you. And my follow-up question was with regards to market share data, sell-in versus sell-out on the Destiny 125 and the Extreme 200R. If you could talk us through the kind of trend rates that you're seeing there. I know we were around 10% on the Destiny 125 and things have improved from there. But if you could break that down, retail versus wholesale, and same for the Extreme, I'd be very grateful, please.
Sorry, Adam, the question was market share data on Destiny. Is that what you're asking?
Both on wholesale and retail basis, yeah.
Yes, please, and for Extreme 200R.
Could we please take that offline? Because that will be a number of data points, and we have a lot of you online. If you're okay, just drop us a line and we'll do a call right after.
What we have readily available is something that I've already talked about, Destiny 19.2% in quarter four. And for Extreme 200R, again for quarter four, we're at about 10.4%. That's really relevant. I think that we can share that happily, but offline we can discuss if you want further details.
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So two questions. One was on the scooter slowdown that we are seeing. So is the primary reason urban slowdown is the primary reason, or the traditional hypothesis that more women are driving and that penetration seems to be now reaching its the low hanging fruits have been absorbed? Is that the primary reason for the scooter slowdown?
Look, I think Chirag, the answer to that is not a linear one. It's the jury is still out, trying to figure out, but exactly whether it's the urban side, the rural consumption side, or it is the women versus men, all that is, there are multiple factors involved. I think you missed out on a very important factor. Scooters are not as fuel efficient as bikes. So I think in a year where the fuel prices have gone absolutely, they've just been going through the rooftop, at least in the first half, significant increases, we saw a maximum setback to scooters during that period. So there could be a linkage there as well. But yes, the relative situation, if you were to kind of piece that information together, is that the urban consumption of scooters is significantly higher than the rural consumption. In the urban markets, the penetrations are significantly higher. Therefore, with high penetration levels, the demand impact or the headroom for demand isn't as high. So it's only a natural thing that will happen every now and then, where there will be some amount of a pushback there. But there are other factors environmentally that have also played around this, and therefore... But I think it will be a little too premature. We said this in the last quarter call as well, that it's not about reverse of scooterization happening. But yes, one data point we can certainly share with you. In markets where scooters were not very strong, and obviously their trajectory has been to get into those markets where they've not been playing very strong, to try and penetrate there, the penetration levels of scooters in those markets have not gone up. But in markets where they were relatively stronger, they've been stable. But in markets where they were not strong, and I'm talking about the UPs and Bihars, where scooters are not as freedom as strong, they've not been able to make any fresh inroads.
This was helpful. The second question, and a related question with BS6 actually, is that, is it right to make a statement that the price hike in scooters or the cost increase in scooters is lower than in motorcycles for you? Would it be the right statement?
you would need to check the source who has given you that information to find that out, but that's the right decision to make.
But we don't have an exact answer on a qualitative basis. Is the technology gap similar or the technology gap bridge required is higher in motorcycle or scooter? If you can,
the technology gap between BS4 scooter and BS4 motorcycle is exactly the technology gap between a BS6 motorcycle and a BS6 scooter. So really speaking, I don't think we have an answer to that. It's just that you will have to figure it out. But I don't think there's any data available which tells you to or helps you to assume that scooters will have a lower price.
Yeah, there shouldn't be a significant difference between the two. Yeah.
And just a clarification on the spare parts revenue for the full year. We just missed out that number, if you can indicate, please.
Yeah, so Chirag, FY19 is 2,836 crores versus FY18 of 2,508, which is a 13% growth.
This is helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. Actually, I'd try to ask what Chirag just asked on the BS6 impact between scooters and motorcycles. You're not answering that question right now, but does the powertrain difference between the motorcycle and the scooters, you know, a manual transmission motorcycle versus a CVT scooter, does that effectively create a meaningful difference between the BS6 hike between the two products?
Fundamentally, the BS, Vivek, I think, hi Vivek, so you would be familiar with technologies, Vivek, and then you would know that the change or regulatory change is not to do with the body contours or that matter, for that matter, the suspension systems or drive chains. It's to do with the engine and the technology therein. So primarily to meet those regulation requirements, the change is fundamentally to the engine, not to some of the stuff that you talked about, the drive chain versus the CVT. So I don't think that's the difference. The core is with the engine, the BS4 compliant engine versus a BS6 compliant engine would necessarily have the same level of detailing differentiation in a scooter as it would have in a motorcycle.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Sundar Sriram from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question, sir. My question is around the receivables which have significantly increased. Is there any change in terms of trade with dealers? Can you talk about that a bit, sir?
No, there's no change in the credit terms with the dealers. The increase is primarily on account of the inventory increase that has happened in the market. And therefore, the fundamental credit terms remain the same. But what we've done is that because of the inventory goes up, then you give the extended credit term, which is also within our credit framework. We do that during festive and we do if there's unusual hike in the inventory. And as it comes down, you will see it coming down moving forward as well.
Right, sir. Thank you. That was helpful. Sir, you spoke about the pre-buy that could come in Q4 wherein customers might choose the slightly lower priced BS4 over the higher priced BS6. Does that mean you're pulling in demand from the next year and therefore FY21 could see a lull in terms of demand per se?
Yeah, possibly. So obviously whatever pre-buying happens where customers bring forward their requirement, that could have an impact. But equally, we also need to remember that because of insurance, a lot of people have deferred their buying as well. So the people who have deferred their buying into FY20, and then the people, whether they are the guys who will pre-buy or the guys who will be brought forward who will do the pre-buy, we'll need to see how the equation pans out.
Right, sir. Sir, one last question, sir. With this BS6 change, would you launch completely new models with probably better features that could, be more attractive to customers that they'll be willing to shell out the extra cost, or would that be only the engine change that we are talking about?
So we won't be able to give any specifics as of now. All we can say is that we would be trying to package various things which can also provide value to the customer.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vasudev Banerjee from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir. A few questions. In the call, you said in April you have taken price hike of around 350 rupees. So is that independent of safety norm price hike, or that is a blended price hike because of CBS coming across your portfolio?
No, it's all blended one. We don't take price hike separately for separate things. So this is a blended one.
So largely because of safety norm transition.
No, that's some of those actually safety norms is like the CBS model went in much before. So they went in January, February itself, So it's a combination of whatever you see as regulation, commodity, all put together is what you do. And some of the, most of our portfolio actually migrated on CBS in Jan, Feb, March itself. And all those models carried a CBS price increase of a CBS of around 500 rupees, yeah, 400 to 500 rupees.
Mm-hmm. And second thing, if I if you mentioned earlier, I might have missed out, you timeline of BS6 models coming out of in FY20, did you share that in the call earlier?
No, we will be in time for the transition. And all we said is that we are well prepared in terms of our readiness for the models. They are moving through various stages, and we'll be ready well in time.
Okay, so unlike few other car companies who are launching them now itself, so you will be looking at fag end of the fiscal as such.
So we won't be giving out the timeline right now. We have our own strategy in terms of when to launch, but one is to be ready to launch, and the second is to actually launch. So what I'm talking about is readiness for launch and readiness for these products will be well in time, and that's what we are gearing up towards. And launch timing will depend on the strategy that we adopt.
So last quarter, where whole industry was guiding that the benefit of lower commodity cost will start trickling in from Q4. So what's the scenario from that respect now, or has that subsided, or it is still going to come next quarter? How to look at that?
See, it will all depend on how the commodity pans out. All we can say is that it looks like the period of significant commodity spikes is behind us probably, and therefore you could count that in a bit of a tailwind. And all combination, as I said, provides good headroom for neutrality of margins.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Kumar from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. Just before I move to the question, just a clarification on the inventory side. The inventory number, what you normally talk about, does it include the sub-dealer inventory, the second tier of the dealership? Because probably that's the confusion between the 90 days and the 45-55 days.
No, we don't carry 45 days of aftermarket or this one inventory that you're talking, because then it will mean that we have another channel of dealer inventory, which is same as that. So that cannot be difference between 90 and 45 days. It's the inventory that we track. There is a part of, you know, probably the sub-dealers carry maybe 10 to 15% of the dealer inventory. But whatever we track, you know, so all the dealers and some of the sub-dealers, which is what 45 to 50 days is, it's all like for like in terms of even our 4 to 6 weeks norms versus where we are.
Okay, and sir, the question, but my question is about the engine transition. As in, we do have a legacy inherited engine, the horizontal engine, which plies on the most of the models like HF Deluxe, Panda, Passion, and given that it's a fairly old engine, which is fully depreciated and very cost effective, does this engine actually can be ramped up to a BS6 version? Because what we understand is that this engine probably may not from engineering wise, it may be difficult to do that, and probably you need and have a new family of engines for the 100cc version. So just wanted to confirm that because it's a pretty dated horizontal design, and most of the world has moved to a vertical engine. Same is the case with your recent new bikes and even 125cc. So just want to confirm that whether will we need a full engine makeover when we transition to Euro 6?
So don't worry about that. All our models will transition to BS6 successfully. and we are well geared for that. The technology, the engine, all is a part of our IP that we have, and obviously we are not going to take that out on the call.
So, in a way, I don't know of customers who buy a bike because of the way the engine is mounted onto the frame. So, on the lighter side, really.
It's just about that whether the cost advantage will continue, because it's a very cost-effective engine for us, right? It's been in operation for probably more than a decade now. So I just want to understand, because listening to your answer, looks like it's going to be affirmative that you will need a full engine makeover, and you're all geared for that. Thanks a lot. And congrats again on the March retail. Fadad says that the retail for the industry is down 7% and you guys are flat. That's very impressive. Thanks a lot.
And by the way, we have not affirmed that it will be a full-scale new engine.
Just for the record.
That you have put the words. Our technology, how we are doing, that's left to our R&D and technology. And you will see when the model comes out, whether it is outside the cost frame or inside the cost frame.
Our ability to develop on frugality is what really is the core essence of how we do our manufacturing.
Yeah.
So you'll see the results. I think it'll be out there in the open for everyone. And I think most important is how the customer really sees that. And that's very critical for us. And
yeah.
So we're very highly focused on that, like we said earlier.
Thanks a lot, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the last question from the line of Varun Bakshi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Ashutosh here. Can you provide some color on how the demand is among different states and regions, basically? Where are we seeing pickup now versus earlier?
Look, Varun, I think the demand overall has been pretty strong in the northern, eastern side, parts of east, most of north. And I think the entire central has been pretty strong in the first month, I'm talking about April. Including March, I think if I were to look at these states, they have been predominantly strong. We've seen some recovery in West this month, I think owing to the fact that there was Gudi Padwa in Maharashtra. So we've seen some recoveries there this month. South seems to be a little lower than expected for most players, but I think rest of the country seems to be just about getting there.
So considering the high base of last year in especially Northern India in wedding season, do you think that in Q1 you could see a retail growth or that's not a possibility?
Like we said, Q1 was a very high base last year. So to look at a growth on that, on top of that, may be a bit of a challenge. But yes, we do expect some recoveries. I think given the kind of base that we had, even if we are able to get to flattish growth, it will be interesting. But we do expect that in May we will see some growth, because last year, versus this year, we would be doing a little better than what we did last year in May, for sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Makharia for closing comments.
Thank you very much. On behalf of HDFC Securities, that concludes the conference. Once again, thank you for joining us in this late hour of the evening.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, everyone. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
You.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of HDFC Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.